The grace of God in Christ is training us like children, disciplining us, correcting, educating God's children as we see to say no to self and sin and to refuse and deny two things. He says ungodliness and worldly desires.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, living the Christian life requires effort, but contrary to other world religions, our effort really has nothing to do with our salvation.
You see, Dave, yes, salvation is a free gift, and yet after we're saved, there's effort expended, and that's what we see in the Word is called obedience. So with this in mind, how do we remain in Christ? How do we obey Him? What does a godly walk look like? Let's find out. Our text is Titus chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verse 12.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians shares the reason why God gave certain spiritual gifts. He says in chapter 4 that He gave them for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God gave certain gifts to bring about the equipping of His people, that we would be mature, that we would become like Christ, that we would know Christ. And he says in the same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. And so evidently we see here in Scripture that there are crafty men, there are deceitful schemers that share doctrines that toss the body of Christ here and there. And rather being tossed here and there, we are to be equipped by the Word of God through God's gifted servants, by His power and strength. And so often I see so many different things come my way for different church training seminars and things like that, and they just break my heart because inevitably they have nothing to do with the teaching of the Word of God. They have to do with getting people to go through a system to lead and train people, and it breaks my heart because God's means for equipping us, as we will see, is through His Word. And also in those same seminars and many things that I see come past my way, I see there are many systems that man, claiming to follow Christ, has created to follow the Lord. Purpose-driven life, whatever it might be, different systems to follow Christ rather than the simplicity of a devotion to Christ. And I believe we're going to see in a very simple passage today as we continue our look in Titus, how we are to walk in godliness. How do we live the Christian life? How do we do it? So would you turn with me in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, and we're continuing our look at verses 11 through 14. And Lord willing, today we'll get through 12 and maybe 13, Lord willing. So Titus chapter 2, in the context of the book of Titus, as I've shared each week, the Apostle Paul is writing to his true child in a common faith. Titus, a faithful man who served under the direction of Paul, served the Lord faithfully. The book of Titus, we see a wonderful introduction in which we see the wonderful truths concerning the Apostle Paul being a bondservant of Christ. We see the mandate for the appointment of elders in Crete that Paul had left Titus at Crete to set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city. And then we saw the absolute qualifications for leadership in the body of Christ. They weren't suggestions, they were commands. And we looked at those commands in depth, and they really gave us a picture of a life yielded to Christ, a Christ-like life. And then we saw that these same elders were to be holding fast the faithful word, that they may be able to exhort and refute in sound doctrine those who contradict. There are contradictors. There are those who would come along and contradict the word of God, and faithful and godly elders must be able to hold fast the faithful words. We saw there were those bad guys who were teaching things they should not teach. God would call them disobedient, detestable, worthless for any good deed. And then we saw in contrast, Paul tells Titus in chapter 2, but you, Titus, speak things only fitting for sound doctrine. Speak sound teaching. Share the word of God in a healthy, righteous way. Sound teaching. And then we looked at verses 2 through 10 in which we saw literally what we believers are to be. We saw commands specifically for older men, for older women, for younger men, for younger women, and we saw for also bondslaves. It covered everybody. Specific commands for the body of Christ. And then we came to our passage in Titus 2, 11 through 14, where we see, I believe, in Scripture, how we are able to do what God calls us to do. You see, many false teachers will come along with the do's and don'ts of the Word of God, which are true, but then they will not show you how God has ordained that you are to live the life He calls you to. And it is only in the Word of God we find how we are to live the Christian life. So would you turn with me to Titus chapter 2? We're looking at verses 11 through 14, and I'm going to read those. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. We sang, how great thou art, our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And then we have the exhortation, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Paul is telling Titus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, this is what God says, speak, exhort, and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. So how is it we are to do what God tells us to do? Verse 11, we saw 2 weeks ago, he begins with the term for the grace of God has appeared. He's explaining ultimately how we are able to do what he has called us to do. And let's review what we saw in verse 11. And I think before we can ever, not I think, I know, before we can ever serve the Lord and do what he calls us to do, we need to recognize and understand and have been saved by the grace of God in Christ. Verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. We saw in 2 Peter a few weeks ago that you cannot function in the body of Christ. You cannot serve the Lord if you have forgotten your former purification from sins. We never leave what Christ has done for us on the cross, but we grow in understanding in that, and we abide in that same Christ who did this for us. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. We saw 2 weeks ago, literally, it said, the saving grace of God has appeared. The saving grace of God. What we do not deserve was accomplished in the person of Christ because we are sinful. The grace of God has shined forth. The grace of God has shined forth because we are all in need of salvation. There are none righteous, not even one. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way, but as God would speak through Isaiah, he has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. God's saving grace has appeared, and Jesus Christ took on human flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he lived the perfect life, fully God, fully man, and he bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to God. The grace of God has appeared. And we cannot live the Christian life. We cannot do what God says unless we have received his grace, been saved by his grace, and remain and stand and abide in that grace. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Well, secondly, we saw last week the beginning of what we will complete, Lord willing, today. That the grace of God did not stop at the cross, that the grace of God in Christ is still at work in the lives of his true children, Verse 11 again, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. If you'll remember from last week, we saw that verse 12 does not begin on its own, and I'm going to review because it's connected to what we will look at today. Verse 12 begins with the term instructing us to deny. That doesn't stand on its own. It can't stand on its own. It's a participle. Present tense, currently instructing us, continually, habitually, what? In context, it is the saving grace of God that has appeared in the past, which is now, currently, present tense, instructing us. And we need to see that. We need to see that it is God's grace instructing us. And we looked last week in depth at what this term instruction meant. It spoke of the process or the act of rearing and guiding children towards maturity. That is what God is doing with His children right now. He is training, He is instructing, He is correcting through the grace of God in the person of Christ, and as we will see, through His very word. The grace of God, the saving grace of God has appeared in the person of Christ. That same saving grace is right now in the now age, instructing us. It's disciplining, it's instructing, it's educating. Present tense, it is training us continually, habitually. And as what we will see in review, what we saw last week, and then what God is doing in the positive. We saw, negatively speaking, what God is teaching us to do last week, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And today I believe we're going to see ultimately that that should lead to that we might live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Now again, I need to remind us of the grammar. This passage is very complex, and although I usually prefer the NASB in this case, I think the New King James has done a better job interpreting this passage. Remember I shared last week, there was the phrase that or hina in Greek, in order that instructing us, hina, that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires. Basically, then it says we might live sensibly. And I really prefer the New King James, and I'll read that for you. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. There is a connection between the denial of ungodliness and worldly desires and the possibility, the very real possibility of living righteously. And we need to see those things together because we're going to look at the positive aspect today, but it does not and cannot be done apart from the denial of ungodliness and worldly desires. Does that make sense? They go together. So then we see here, I believe, God's saving grace in the person of Christ is presently instructing us in order that, denying sin and self, as we saw last week, we might live righteously. That's what God is doing. That's what God in Christ is doing right now in the life of the believer. That is God's wonderful plan for your life. It is to deny sin and self and to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present age. We're going to see ultimately there is no true life unless the power of the Spirit of God through Christ we are saying no to sin. There is no living righteously unless we are saying no to those dead things. We need to get this. First of all, the grace of God in Christ is training us like children, disciplining us, correcting, educating God's children, as we see, to say no to self and sin and to refuse and deny two things. And let's review those two things briefly before we go to our passage. We see in verse 12 instructing us to deny or literally say no, right? We saw that last week. God's grace in Christ is instructing us to say no. And hopefully this week you were convicted when those things came up. You were like, no, I should say no in the power of the Holy Spirit to these things. He says ungodliness and worldly desires. Do you remember what ungodliness is? We saw ungodliness spoke of actions done out of a lack of fear or reverence or worship for God. Simply ungodliness are those things we do without consciousness towards God. They are out of a lack of fear and reverence for God. The world lives an ungodly life because they do not fear God. There is no fear before their eyes. And before we came to Christ, we did not fear God. We may have feigned obedience to get things from God, but we did not fear God, as Scripture says. And ultimately, ungodliness are those things done out of a lack of reverence, worship, and fear for God. Now, we also saw that Christ, through His Word, is instructing us now to deny something else, worldly desires. We looked in depth last week at that. Well, what are worldly desires? Is a worldly desire a certain television program? Well, certainly it may be, but it's more simple than that. Worldly desires are the desires that the world lives by. They are worldly desires. It is how the world functions. It is me, myself, and I. It is self-preservation, self-elevation, self-exaltation. Worldly desires. The world being the system of unsaved man which operates apart from Christ. It is my will rather than His will. That's worldly desires, my will. And oh, brothers and sisters, how the church has strayed so far from the basics of the Christian life. The Word of God working in the life of a believer by the grace of God so that we will say no to our own will and thus do His will. Romans chapter 12, we're familiar with it, hopefully. Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed. Don't let the world squeeze you into its thinking, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind that you may prove not what your will is, but what the will of God is. It is the Word of God renewing the mind of the true believer that brings about the right behavior and the demonstrating and proving of God's will in our lives. And God's plan for you and I is to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That's what Christ is doing in us right now. He is instructing us, present tense, to say no to sin and self. And so often I hear so many things about Jesus Christ, and I hear very little about what Christ says He is doing in His Word in the lives of His true church. And right here it says, ultimately, the grace of God, as we saw in the person of Christ, is instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That's the first part, to say no to those things that arise out of a lack of reverence for God and arise out of our will. And that covers a lot of stuff. We don't need to make a legalistic list of things that are worldly. We need to go to the basics, and there it is. God, by His grace through His Word, is teaching us to say no to actions that are void of reverence and fear and worship and are contrary ultimately to His will, but are driven by our will. And at this point, I want to make sure that we recognize that this portion that we just looked at and did last week, the saying no, is integrally connected to what we'll look at today in the latter portion of 12. And I believe we're going to see that God, through Christ, is instructing us to say no so that we may live rightly, looking forward again to His coming. Verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And here we go, here's what we'll look at today. And to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. So then here we go, beginning at the last half of verse 12. Now, as I shared earlier, we need to recognize in the NASB, the verb translated to live is not really what we would call an infinitive in English. An infinitive is how we would say like to live, to be, or to ever, whatever it might be. It's really a subjunctive. It really should be translated that we might live, that we may live. And that's the way the New King James translates it, and I really prefer that here. God is teaching us that denying these things, we might live this way. That's how we should live, right? But there's a very real possibility we won't obey and we won't live that way, right? That we might live that way. That is God's plan for us. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, literally, that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, literally, we should live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Now, as I studied this passage, I believe these three terms, sensibly, righteously, and godly, sum up in a nutshell what Christ is doing in the body of Christ right now, in His people. That's what He's doing. If you want to know what Christ is doing in His people, this is what He's doing. He's teaching us to deny sin and ungodliness that we might live this way. Three things, sensibly, righteously, and godly. And I believe we're going to see the term sensibly relates to our inward thinking, which certainly relates to the manifestation of our thinking, our behavior, which is how we behave towards others righteously. And the third speaks of our upward behavior towards God, the behavior that stems out of a reverence for Him, godly. So then the grace of God right now in Christ is instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should first, let's take a look at the first one here, first live sensibly. Now, for those of you who have been with us in the book of Titus, this is a very familiar term. But what does it mean? Let's review. We've seen it all throughout Titus. Here we have the adverb sophronos, modifying this idea of living. It's an adverb modifying a verb, that we might live then three specific ways. That we might live, and here's the first way that we might live sensibly. Sophronos. Well, what does it mean? As we've seen before, the Greek word sophronos, translated sensibly here, originates from two words, sozo, which means to save, phron, which means mind, saved mind. It speaks of thinking sensibly, right thinking, sound judgment. It's translated in Scripture. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, sophronos, be of sound judgment. Be thinking right, because the end of all things is at hand. We see this word describing the demoniac that Jesus cast out the legion of demons. He was clothed and in his sophronos, right mind. One lexicon speaks of it strictly as having a sound, healthy mind, the ability to curb desires, impulses, so as to produce measured, orderly life. Being sensible.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our closing moments today, why are man-made systems for achieving godliness unhelpful? Are there no practical tools that we can use to help us stay on track?
You know, Dave, the key difference here is, where is your trust? You see, in man-made systems, ultimately, trust is in man and in self. But when we trust in the Lord, then the Lord enables us to walk in a way that is glorifying to Him. You see, God's Word is sufficient, and the God of the Word is sufficient. We have everything we need for life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. We have His precious and magnificent promises. So ultimately, it comes down to, am I trusting in self or man, or am I trusting in Christ through His Word? Now, does this mean we can't use a journal or whatever? No, of course not. But if you're using those things to trust in yourself or the journal, then that's a problem. We need to trust in Christ. He is everything. So then when we trust in Him, allowing His Word to be worked out in our lives, The fruit of godliness is born in our day-to-day attitudes and actions.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.